This week's parsha contains within it the berachot that Yitzchak Avinu offers Yaakov. The brachot, these blessings, apparently are the foundations of successful Judaism for all of legacy, for all of Jewish generations that follow. And while it appears that the few psukim, the verses in which Yitzchak blesses Yaakov, are a number of brachot, a number of blessings, in actuality, my understanding is that within these few words contains really one source of bracha, one source of blessing. And interestingly enough, when one looks at the text, it doesn't appear to be so. Yaakov Avinu says to his son Yitzchak, V'yiten lecha ha'elohim im perek chavzayim psukim chavchet en chavtet. V'yiten lecha ha'elohim mital ha'shamayim u'mishmanei ha'aretz v'rov dagan v'tihosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant you, Yaakov and your children, mital ha'shamayim, from the dews above in the heavens, u'mishmanei ha'aretz, and from the fat, the wealth of the land, ve'rov dagan v'tirosh, and all the produce that comes along with the benefits of having a fruitful land itself. Ya'avducha amim v'ishtachavu lecha le'umim, heve'gvir la'achecha v'ishtachavu lecha b'nei ame'imecha. Nations will worship and bow to you. And he concludes the blessings with the words, Orarecha arur umivarechecha baruch. The curses that you have will be cursed, and the blessings that you have will be blessed. And at first glance, that's rather strange. Part of a bracha, the context of blessing, certainly should not include orarecha arur, even the mention of klalot, of curses. What exactly is Yitzchak telling Yaakov? Or how is he adorning him with a blessing by including the context of Orarecha Arur, the concept of a klala? And Rashi comments in an attempt not only to explain, but perhaps even to smooth over the context of these words, Ubebilam hu omer mivarchecha baruch v'orarecha arur. By Bilam, the first words that are used are Mivarchecha Baruch. The order is completely the opposite. First it says that your blessings should be blessed with regards to Bilam, Ve'orarecha Arur, and your curses should be cursed. Why? Says Rashi, Hatzadikim Tchilatam Yisurin V'Sofan Shalva. By righteous people, or perhaps we could even say, in the context of righteousness, it always begins with Yisurim. Their lives are filled with challenges, perhaps even pain, which affects them. V'sofan shalom. But in the end, the righteous people are able to find solace, peace. V'aroreyem u'mitzareyem kodmin l'mivarcheyem. And indeed, before they find the source of blessing, before they are confronted with solace, with comfort, they first have to face the music. They first have to deal with challenges and obstructions that might exist in their lives. The fichach Yitzchak hikdim kilelat orerim liberkat mivarchim. Therefore Yitzchak, when he spoke to his son Yaakov, perhaps was not only giving him a blessing, but perhaps he was prescribing for him a formula for a successful life. First, there will be challenges. Inevitably, there will be trial and tribulation that you will confront for having been called the leader, the mentor, the father of the Jewish nation. But ultimately, you will find peace. You will find a source of bracha. If not in your immediate lifetime, then within or transmitted in your children or great-grandchildren or generations to come. But Reshoim, wicked people, says Rashi, Tchilatan shalva v'sofan yisurin. They begin with a life of comfort, a life in which they believe that they have found the key to success, but in the end, it might all be for naught. It does not necessarily reveal itself in a comfortable and in a successful way of living. And the question is, that first dawned upon me, was if this is true, that indeed a righteous person or righteousness may very well begin with challenges in this world in order to ultimately see the brachot. And when we talk about blessing, perhaps we see it in spiritual context, that which comes from above. At the beginning of the brachot, in the first pasuk, Yitzchok says, V'yitan v'yitan lecha Elokim mital ha-shamayim u'mishmanei ha-aretz. From the dews above in the heavens, and then from the fat of the earth. Well, we would think that if this is going to follow the same formula of the ensuing verse, perhaps it should say the opposite. V'yitan lecha Elokim mishmanei ha-aretz, from the fat of the land, and then mital ha-shamayim, and then follows the spiritual supplication that is derived from the heavens above. Let the tzaddik begin with the earth below, lishmanei ha-aretz, and then arrive at, as a result of the leader or the path that he's taken in his life, the challenges that he has confronted, then let him be faced with Tala Shamayim, the dew of the heavens. And I wondered why it was placed in this order, even though the understanding of the bracha ends or concludes with Pumfakert, with just the opposite. Mivarechecha Baruch, I'm sorry, Orarecha Arur, the klalot, the curses first, and then, ultimately, Mivarechecha Baruch. When I posed this question to my students, one of my Talmidim provided a very obvious answer. He said, when we talk about the latter part of the bracha that Yitzchak's giving Yaakov, that is dealing with brachot and klalot. Within the world of blessings and curses, yes. Curses come first for a tzaddik, for a righteous individual. The challenges that he has to confront, and then he reaps the benefits of the brachot. However, says this Talmud, a student of mine, at the beginning of the psukim, when Yitzchak first says, V'yiten lecha ha-Elohim mital ha-shamayim u'mishmanei ha-aretz, he is not offering a contrast between klalot, curses, and brachot, blessings. No! He's telling or talking to Yaakov within the context entirely of bracha, of blessing. And therefore, within bracha, yes, first you can have mital ha-shamayim, the derivatives of the heavens, u'mishmanei ha-aretz, which can then be followed by the benefits of the earth below. And while this answer, I have to tell you, is completely satisfactory and makes absolute sense, I have to say that I believe there is still a significant connection between both halves of these brachot that were given by Yitzchak to Yaakov, and that perhaps there is significance in their order and in the correlation. We have a tendency in our lives to expect a certain amount of perfection. And that's because largely we have been spoiled by success, and we have been spoiled by reaping the obvious material benefits that adorn our lives and that accompany us fairly on a daily basis. I mentioned many times in the past the mistake of the books which are written about our righteous tzaddikim, our great rabbanim, the books in which they talk about how these men achieved perfection, how they never made mistakes in their lives, how they were so outstanding in terms of their scholarship that it would appear that they did not have to struggle and strive in order to achieve that level of scholarliness. And unfortunately, when children, or even when the average person, reads these books, the first reaction, which is initiated classically, is, or should be, I could never aspire, I could never hope to be like this person. And that's precisely the reaction that we do not want. We don't want to discourage people from attempting to achieve tzaddikim, righteous individuals, or rabbonim's great rabbis' achievements. We want them to be encouraged to realize that you too can achieve this greatness. You too can aspire towards this personality. But unfortunately, we grow discouraged. We grow impatient when we read these pictures of perfection. What Chazal, or what the Torah wants us to appreciate and understand, Rabotai, is that greatness and righteousness comes packaged in the sense of a cause. And if a person, a righteous person, is someone with cause, well, cause takes time. And time requires patience. Nowhere in the Torah, in Yitzchak's blessings to Yaakov, does it say that there won't be arur, that there won't be curses. No. Yitzchak says to Yaakov, inevitably, Orarecha arur, my dear son, there will be challenges, there will be hardships, there will be obstacles on your way to achieve a spiritual lifestyle and a connection with your Creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the blessing is Mevarechecha Baruch, with those Orarecha arur, with those failures, with those mistakes that you make, with those obstructions, comes the very fact that you anticipate bracha, that you are eager and excited to achieve ultimately the great goal of cementing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the greatest source of bracha in of itself. And therefore, followed by Orarecha Arur, is Mevarchecha Baruch. Inevitably, there will be difficulties and hardships. But the greatness of a righteous person is that he persists, is that he insists to continue based on what is important to him. That is the greatness of this individual. And therefore, this is precisely what Yitzchak is telling Yaakov. Recently, we were able to see with clarity the greatness of someone who is achieving righteousness, that it is not merely something which happens immediate, but rather it is a progression that takes time. I just came back yesterday from a long trip, 2 weeks of a lecture tour on the West Coast in the United States. And I have to say that while there are a number of highlights of the trip, and it's exciting and it's challenging, and many lectures and the many people that you meet, I want to share with you what probably was the greatest highlight I have ever had in one of my trips, probably the most revealing. And interestingly enough, this great highlight did not come from a foreign source. It did not come from people who I met far away. And it did not come as a result of the Torah, which Baruch Hashem I was privileged to give and to offer in foreign communities. No, it came from the source closest to home. Because as I went through my briefcase, I was looking through my papers, I found there a plain letter from my teenage daughter. And I say teenage daughter because immediately when we hear the word teenager, we have a certain shuddering of trepidation that goes into all of us, all those who are familiar with what it means to rear a child who is a teenager. And she writes to me as follows. I forgot to tell you what we did in Chagas, which is her group, her Shabbat group of Ezra, on Shabbat. On Shabbat, the Parsha was Lech Lecha, and the week before was Noach, which sort of gives all of you a sense of how long I was away. The word Noach means comfortable. When someone is comfortable, they can concentrate more. And when you concentrate, you work harder, and you achieve, and you do things better. That's why Lech Lecha is immediately after Noach. Because after being comfortable, you do more. Hence, Lech Lecha. Walk, follow, achieve. Like Shabbat. People work all week, and then there is Shabbat, when you rest in comfort. And right after Shabbat comes Sunday, and then Monday, etc., etc. And that's why it's called Yom Rishon LeShabbat, Yom Sheni LeShabbat. Because you go into the work of the week from the comfort of Shabbat. That's what I learned in Chagas. I wanted to say it at the table, but I forgot. So I thought maybe I'll just write it down and tell you in a letter so you can read it on the plane. I hope you like it. Good luck, and I miss you already. Well, I said to myself after I read this letter, I miss you tremendously. How often is a person, a parent, privileged to receive a letter like that? How often do I wonder when I sit around my Shabbat table whether or not anything is getting through to the thick heads of these teenagers who insist that they know better, who insist that they have experience, who insist that you do not necessarily know what you're talking about. And yet this was living proof that something of all the words of perhaps wisdom, perhaps tainted at that, is somehow penetrating. And interestingly enough, when I returned from my trip, I got another letter on my door as I walked in. And it said like this. It said, I'm really happy you're coming back today. The house seems so empty when you're not here. No one working on the computer. No one to see in the morning before you go to school. Saying goodnight to you and to mommy. And I especially miss Shabbat when you're not here. That's my favorite thing out of all that I love about you. On Shabbat, there is always Avira Shabbat, an atmosphere of Shabbat, when you're home, because it completes the family. But when you're gone, the brachot aren't the same. The singing and the questions at the table, or Kiddush and Hamotzi, aren't the same. So I guess it's good that mommy is the mommy, and you're the Abba, because you do your job the best out of anyone. Baruch Hashem, I was able to see the greatness of these letters. Because when you look at them, you'll say to yourself, oh, here's clearly a teenager who must be an angel. She must never cause her parents problems. Well, I have a great secret to reveal to you, my friends. We argue. We fight. We disagree. Sometimes it gets very, very volatile. Very challenging. There's a tremendous amount of agmat nefesh, of worry that I go through, whether or not my children are being directed properly, and certainly whether or not ultimately they'll follow the proper path. But at the end of the day, when a person receives letters like these, I said to myself, Orarecha Arur, the derech, the way is challenging. There are obstructions, particularly in directing and educating one's children. But in the end of the day, Mivarechecha Baruch, there is a shimmer of blessing. But it's all based on progression. And I believe that this is the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens to Yaakov as well. Yitzchak tells Yaakov, not only Orarecha Arur Umivarechecha Baruch, but even within the context of Bracha. V'yiten Lecha HaElohim, what? Mital HaShamayim Umishmanei HaAretz. Tal is due, Rabotai. Dew falls regularly, every single day. But one does not witness the greatness, the fruits that we can benefit from the dew immediately. We do not see the fruits sprout forth the following day after the dew has fallen and the preceding morning? No. Dew, the wetness, the moisture that fills the earth, it takes time for a person to see the fruits that are born as a result of that wetness, of the dew, of the moisture. It takes patience. Tal represents willingness to invest. It represents ultimately arriving at the benefits conclusively that the Tal has to offer. Vishmanei ha'aretz. But it is not without anticipation. The source of bracha, perhaps Yitzchak wanted Yaakov to understand that in all walks of life, in child rearing, in mentoring, in educating, in directing, and certainly in rearing an entire Jewish nation, the source of bracha is in itself the way that we equip our preparedness to accept it. The way in which we go, which includes trial and tribulation, which includes those challenges, those obstructions. And often it is introduced and preempted by a bitter and a frustrating Orarecha Arur. But when we persist, and when we continue to educate, and when we stand on our principles, regardless of the fact that yes, even the righteous make mistakes, ultimately we arrive at Mevarachecha Baruch. The difficulties of righteousness is what makes it different. The difference of righteousness is anticipation and patience. The more that we appreciate this concept, that righteousness is not achieved or attained or painted in the picture of perfection, but rather it is achieved by failure as well, by the hardships that we are confronted with, then Emir Tzashem will all be zoche to attain the source of bracha within our children, within our people, and certainly appreciating it within all the struggle and hardship that we go through within settling and developing our country, Eretz Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom.